Welcome everyone to this wonderful Wednesday. We have been studying all the I ams that Jesus declared about himself in the scriptures. And so we are now on I am the shepherd in John chapter 10. And last week we did Jesus, I am the door, and how the door and the shepherd are connected with the previous event of that blind beggar man getting healed, and how he was excommunicated, and then God made a way for him to be in his sheepfold. And so I loved that whole thing last week. It was so good. But as we go into the shepherd, we always are thinking of the sheep, right? But really, the shepherd should be our focus, right? I mean, we can sit around and list all the things that are not right with us or that are wrong with us as sheep, right? And if that's your focus, you're not going to have, you know, hope in your heart. We have to focus on the shepherd and understand that. And it's been spoken for many weeks now. Trusting the Lord, trusting the shepherd will make sure everything is taken care of in our lives. We seek first the kingdom and the king, and those things are taken care of. So we're going to read John chapter 10, verses 11. Actually, I think I might start right from the beginning because I'm going to comment on 10, verse 1, and a couple other things as we go along. So I'll just read that first. Most assuredly, these are Jesus' words, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So he goes before us, right? We know he went before us at the cross, made a way for us. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Well, that was a practice done in those days where the sheep, actually each individual sheep was named by the shepherd. Right. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. So he brings them out and he goes before them. And we know that we are to follow the lamb wherever he goes. We are to follow the shepherd, right? And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Of course, he's speaking that to the Pharisees at that time, who indicted Jesus by saying he was his own witness, and it was illegal to do that in that day. But we know that the Lord, the Father, was his witness. Verse 7, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am, this is today's lesson, I am, verse 11, the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So all throughout the ages, right, Jesus as the shepherd has been gathering sheep. First, it was the sheep of Israel, and then the Gentiles, and now in our day, it's all peoples, right? Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So he's just following what God the Father has told him to do, right? So verse 11 is really our scripture for the day. I am the good shepherd. Now, I want to show you the contrast in Ezekiel 34 of some bad shepherds, okay? Now, when Jesus is saying he's the good shepherd, he is intrinsically and essentially good, beautiful, fair, kind, all of those virtues. He's excellent in character and virtue and bravery. Okay. Now here we have in Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came and said, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak, you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. And we know when we're thinking of this, we're thinking also as Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees about wrong shepherds or evil shepherds that don't do what their calling is supposed to be doing. And it names all these things here. You know, you're not strengthening the weak. You're not healing the sick. You're not binding up those that are broken. You're not going after the lost or the wandering and so on and so forth. So it's the same type of issue that is going on here that Jesus addressed the Pharisees with. Mm-hmm. And let me see, I will go to verse 16. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. That's the sheep. The sheep cannot live long without a shepherd. They just can't. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, surely my flock become a prey, and my flock become food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. So not only did they not feed them, it implies here that they devoured them, you know, spiritually speaking. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains, in the valleys, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures on the mountains. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. Now remember in Psalm 23, the Lord made them lie down in green pastures. And I will say this, the sheep sometimes would not lay down by themselves. They were to be helped to lay down to rest. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, strengthen what was sick, and I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, to have drunk of the clear waters that you must foul the residue with your feet? So it goes on and on, but basically you get the gist of how Jesus is mirroring this in the Old Testament when he's addressing the shepherds who did not do what they were supposed to do. They fed themselves. And instead of ruling according to their calling and their leadership with compassion or pity, they scattered them instead and made them prey for, you know, the beasts and mostly the wolves. They were plentiful in that day, but there's all kinds of hyenas, all kinds of things that would be making the sheep their prey. And sheep, they need endless care and attention. And so last week we were talking about how Jesus as the door and as the shepherd laid in the entryway for the sheep to go in and out, and how they could not even find their way, even if it was within sight. They could not go find their way in the sheepfold, even if it was in their sight. They had to be led by the shepherd and they had to hear his voice. So it is important not only to see, right, in the spirit, but to hear and to follow. It's very important that we carry out that directive, right? So again, in John 10, we'll go back there real quick. Let's see, where are we? Okay, 11 is where he declares himself the good shepherd. And it talks about the hireling. We read this about the hireling. And it talks about the thief comes to kill, destroy, and all that. But a thief steals in secret, okay? And a robber plunders openly with violence. So these are two types of warfare that we must be aware of. With a thief, you're dealing with that hidden occult level warfare where it's not easily recognizable, right? With a robber, you may experience a little bit more activity openly of the enemy after you, right? And with violence, whether it's warfare in your mind, whether it's, you know, something going on in your body, we know there's a lot of different things that are telling when we're experiencing that level of warfare. But I find mostly that the thief and doing things in secret, it's a lot harder to identify sometimes, because sometimes you just go, oh, I'm just having a rotten day and all these things are happening. And like I was talking to Mary earlier and she said, you know, she was looking for something and it totally disappeared. Well, I've had that happen to me many times where things disappear and then reappear. And it's not that I'm crazy. They actually are gone. And that's that occult level warfare that screws with your head and your thoughts. You know what I mean? Or the fact that somebody will say something to you and you know that that the enemy's wearing that person's face and that he's saying something to you to cause you to be stolen your peace, your joy, or whatever it may be. And we know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, which means that those kind of spirits that come after us in warfare are way more savvy. The devil's an ancient folk than we are ourselves in our natural state. So So we need to be walking in the Spirit in order to discern what is what. And oftentimes I find, especially with the thievery or those secret places of warfare, it's not easily identified with you yourself, that you almost need to get somebody else to, you know, bounce things off of. Like, you know, it happened to us quite often. We'll say, man, I was so under it this week. So was I. I didn't even want to pray. And so was this person. So was that. And so you know that by sharing it, that it's identified, right? Or you may say something and somebody will say, you know what? I was praying for you yesterday when you went to the doctor and praying for a good report and so on. And you're like, yeah, I was really struggling there. And then you understand that the warfare is outside of yourself and not internal. That's a really important part of learning how to discern what is from the Lord, what is from the enemy, and what is of your own imagination and making. Now, we know that our strengths are our weaknesses. For me, being prophetic, I have a wild and crazy imagination that can be really nuts, you know, or off the wall. And so a strength is a weakness, right? If you are, you know, whatever your strength is, it can also be your weakness. So you have to be careful of those things too. But as we walk in the Spirit, we learn to discern what is happening outside of you and impinging on your spirit life, right? You're depressed all of a sudden. What? Where'd that come from? Or you're afraid and quaking. And where'd that come from? Sometimes that is coming outside of you and oppressing you. It's not necessarily something that is within you. And see, it's a real trap just to go down that black hole and start belly gazing. You know what I mean? And you can talk yourself right into, you know, what you can receive it as if it's true. I'm just depressed. Maybe you're really not. Maybe it's the enemy impinging on you. You know, maybe there's warfare against the church on that day. You know, there's some activity going on in the dark parts of, you know, the neighborhood or the culture or whatever. We don't know. We also know that we are the recipients of the warfare that's going on, even in our own nation. All the chaos that's going on now in the government and the political system is affecting us, you know, whether we recognize it or not. So we have to just be alert, you know, and not be afraid, but just be alert. And like I said, our focus can't just be on us as sheep. We know we're unintelligent. We know we get in all kinds of trouble, right? We know when we're lost and wandering and all that, and our focus needs to always go back to Christ and Christ alone as our shepherd. And so anyways, again, I thought that was really important to note the thief and the robber. Okay. Let's see. We know also from the scriptures that when the Lord was addressing the bad shepherds that weren't doing what they need to do, that he was indicting them, that they weren't doing what they needed to do, that they were to save, they were to deliver, they were to bind up wounds, they were to supply all the needs of the sheep, right? And in Luke, I'll just read this, Luke 11:46 as a reference scripture. It reads, this is the indictment again, you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift a finger to help them. So that is exactly what was going on with the Pharisees. And that is exactly what is going on in ministries across the world. Now, recently, there's been some court cases and indictments and all kinds of things happening in ministries where big ministries are falling. And I believe that God is shaking that up and that it's coming to the surface, because everything that can be shaken, Pastor Oz, will be shaken. And I find my trust for outside of relationship ministries is very cautious. You know, people that I admired their teaching, their music, their ministry, I mean, that blessed me, fed me, I find is, it's a faulty foundation. They were abusers for 30 years. Or, I mean, and oh my gosh, even, you know, some groomed people, you know, young women until they got older and, you know, then had relationship with them. In fact, one of them used to groom these young women and say, you know, God told me that my wife was going to die young and that I was going to marry you, while he's having a relationship with this one of many young girls, right? Okay, so crazy stuff is going on. Here's another one that blew my mind. It was one of the Faith Prosperity preachers was having communion with another leader, and they both cut themselves and bled into the cup and then exchanged, your blood is in me and mine is in you. That's like such heresy. It's I like the things that are going on, honestly, are absolutely insane. So for me, if I trust my leader and his relationship with other leaders, I trust my relationship with other leaders to a certain degree. And, you know, I think I've been saved a number of times from being connected to wrong ministry, you know, where you find out later, because you want to be somebody in God, you know, when you're young in the Lord, and when you find out later that things were not good financially, things are not good morally, and so on and so forth. So one thing you will learn is that Jesus is to be our shepherd. He is to be our hero. No man is perfect, and every person has fallen short of the glory of God. So even with, you know, people that you're in relationship to, not that you don't trust them, but I'm just saying, when your heart says something different and you discern something different, you need to be cautious. You need to question, you know, you need to just be aware, you know, and not look at people to be your hero. It has to be Christ and Christ alone, right? So, okay. So Jesus, when he talks about himself, he's talking about his sacrificial life is a model or blueprint for every godly leader that should be walking with the Lord and accountable. Much of what has transpired in bigger, you know, giant ministries and stuff is a lack of accountability. And I'm not talking about, you know, people telling you what to wear and so who to marry and all that. But accountability is the safeguard for all leaders. And they have to be willing to hear any kind of constructive criticism and make the adjustments necessary. I know for us as a church, we've adjusted many, many times over because we're always in a learning and growing place, you know? So now, we know that there are shepherds, leaders, and there are under shepherds, you know, those that are mature in the Lord. And our example for an under shepherd would be John the Baptist, okay? Isaiah 40, verse 3, as a reference, talks about and prophesies about John the Baptist, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, what is so awesome about John the Baptist being an under shepherd is that he reached the Jewish people and his culture and society by removing himself from it. He removed himself from all the trappings. And I'm not saying y'all should, you know, eat wild locusts and honey and all that stuff, but I'm saying that in our heart, our devotion has to be to Christ, you know, and it has to not be polluted by our culture and the world. And it's easy because we breathe that air in every single day. You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I fight materialism, greed, jealousy, and those things, you know, periodically and over again. You know, I think, oh, I'm on Amazon, you know, oh, I really could use that. I could really use this. And, you know, and if it's art things, I mean, I always will be tempted to sin because I want everything, you know, but we all have our thing, right? Whether it's home decor, whether it's food, whether whatever it could be, we all have our thing. But I love that about John the Baptist, that 700 years earlier, this was prophesied about John the Baptist. 700 years. That's pretty incredible. And how we are ourselves are challenged to be in the world and not of it, just like the Baptist, you know. When a shepherd lost a sheep in that day, if he did not have proof that that sheep was prey to a animal or whatever, he had to pay for it. So when you're talking about a hireling, it's a job, not a calling. It's a mercenary, so to speak, you know. And how many pastors are mercenaries who at the first sign of whatever challenge it may be, bolt? If you look at the statistics, and I don't have them on hand, but you could probably find them under Barna. The statistics are how many pastors leave the ministry. It's staggering because it's really, to be a shepherd is hard, hard work. It's laying down your life. It is always being 24/7 there. It's not a clock in and clock out. You take your downtime when you get it, right, Jan? And if you don't get it, you don't get it. It's a sacrifice, not only for the shepherd, but for the shepherdess. So some cool things about sheep, and we've talked about how unintelligent they are, and we've talked about a lot of those things. They can survive on very little water and grass. When they go out early in the morning, the dew on the grass is enough for them to have the water that they need, okay? And then, you know, the grass. But the fact that they can survive long without it is very conducive for being, you know, out in, you know, outside and, you know, grazing and all that stuff. And the fact that you can move from one place for another, but they don't mow it all down. You know what I'm saying? They're not, they're just not like that. And they cannot survive long without a shepherd. If a sheep gets stuck in a rut upside down, within hours, it will die. And it can't right itself up. So if you get in a rut, I mean, that speaks to us, right? When we get in a rut and we're stuck, whatever is going on, we can spiritually start losing some life, some energy. You know what I mean? And so there's just so many things that are so fun about sheep and shepherds and all that stuff. They are totally dependent for everything, for protection, for grazing, watering, sheltering. Their injuries and all that. And we've talked about that. They're prone to wander. Like I said earlier, they cannot even find their way to the sheepfold within sight unless the shepherd needs them. So we never get ahead of the shepherd. We don't make our own way. If we make our own way, can we tend to wander? And God's always bringing us back, you know, to the place of departure and leading us We need to understand that not only does the shepherd do all these things for us, but they are actually our closest companion. They are with us with everything in our lives. Jesus is with us, and he is to be our closest companion, that close to us. And I would say probably within hearing of his voice, right? Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Verse 32 and 33. This is another aspect. All the nations will be gathered before him, that is Christ, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep and from the goats. So he divides people, right? We're talking about people, just as he would sheep from a goat. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So it was common that the goats would be part of the sheepfold. And I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think I remember most of the sheep that in Bethlehem were black goats. So you could tell the difference between a sheep and a goat, even if you're unintelligent, I guess, but you could tell the difference. And that there's a time in history where God is going to judge people, whether they're, you know, following him or not following him. So I thought that was interesting that they are together. And for as long as we're on this earth until Christ comes, we're going to have goats among us, right? It's just, that's just the way it is. After the morning feeding, when the shepherd would take the sheep out in the morning and they would get that dewy grass and all that, they would go into a cool, shaded area to digest their food and to rest. Now, the goats didn't have to rest, but the sheep would go and they would rest. And so we're going to go eventually to Psalm 23 because it's all this and more. And so I know for me, a lot of times when I'm in a service on Sunday, I want to go home and rest. I really do. I want to digest the word. I want to just let it just mull over and ponder the things that were said, you know, and, you know, and physically that rich of a diet for me, I'm tired on Sundays. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I go home and I need to rest, you know? And so I think that's kind of funny that even naturally that we want to do that after being fed, you know, we all want to take a nap after too many carbs, right? But you know what I'm saying there, but it's important that we do rest. You know, we're not out there 24 hours a day, you know, doing stuff, you know, looking for stuff, eating, whatever, all that stuff. And then, as sheep, they do not like running water. They like still water, which again reminds us of Psalm 23, but they can't swim. If they fall, in the water, they'll drown because of the weight of their coats and all that. But I wanted to say something else about this, but I can't find it. Oh, yeah. Sometimes they would want to drink from a puddle that has parasites rather than running water. Any kind of running water spooks them. They're super fearful of things. You know, that's why they have to be led. And you know what? Left to our own devices, I struggle with fear. But when I've got my focus on the Lamb and follow him wherever he's going, I'm not afraid, you know? I was going to say something else, too, about that. With the predators, you know, the rod and staff, they comfort me from the song. The rod, and I remember Louise sharing this years ago, the rod was a wood and it was formed for exactly for the shepherd's hand to fit perfectly. And what they would do is they would take nails and put nails in it. And I mean, that speaks to me of the cross, you know, the heart, and that's to defeat the enemy. When Jesus went to the cross and had those nails piercing through him, he defeated the devil forever, you know. And how cool is that, that so many things in the scriptures mirror our reality, you know. And then the staff, or would oftentimes, sometimes it was straight, but sometimes it would be have that crook on it, and it would, that would be used. And you see it all the time in cartoons or whatnot to get around the sheep and rescue it. And I've heard stories that even if a sheep is lost and can't make their way back, that that they will, they'll actually break their legs and carry them, you know, so that they live, you know. And we know too, it is in our nature, like Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're predisposed to stray. It is so important to have the accountability and body life, I believe, and keep our focus on the Lord, right? In Psalm 95, verse 7, here's another reference. He is our God, and we are his people, the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Oftentimes, one of the traits of shepherds would be that they were lovers and poets, and we think, and they were tough. And you think of David, he was a perfect example, you know, and they would have the flutes, you know, and they would energize the sheep with when they would play the flute. So flute. And so they were musical as well a lot of times, right? So it just gives you a whole different perspective of a shepherd. Not only is your shepherd your companion and nurturing and kind and fair and good, but that he also was your protector, your safeguard, your shelter, your everything, you know, and it, that is God. You know, he is both the lion and the lamb. He is both full of judgment and mercy. And it's really, we always want to bend towards one or the other, but it, as you mature in the Lord, you begin to hold the things that seem in conflict, you hold them in tension. And I believe that's one of the marks of our DNA as a church, and I think especially our senior pastor. He has this ability to hold things that seem to be conflicting in tension, and both are true, right? So I think that's really important. If you look at, you can look at Song of Solomon, chapter 1, if I can find it. Verse 7. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? But basically the first part, that 7a, is what we wanted to concentrate on. Tell me, O you whom I love. These words, we know Song of Solomon, it's almost embarrassing to read because it's so intimate, right? And you got to be really in the spirit to be able to digest some of these words, because they are, we can associate them with things that are not true, you know what I mean, sensuality wise and all that kind of stuff. But basically, you know, it talks about love and intimacy, and we are to have that as a bridegroom and a bride have. Let's look at Psalm 23. Give me a minute. I love this psalm, and you know, we read it so many times with funerals, but it really is not a funeral message. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If he is your shepherd and you are focused on him, you're not going to desire frivolous things. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This is a case where the sheep don't automatically rest on their own and lie down. Sometimes we're, you know, we're buzzing in our energy or in our mind and all that. He makes me. Jesus is our shepherd. He makes us to lie down and rest. How many of us don't like to hear, oh, you need to take it easy. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, pushing through it. He leads me beside the still waters because the fast running waters spook us. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of his righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd goes before the sheep and marks out a safe path, okay, where there's things that can be deadly that the sheep would eat or drink from those puddles or whatever, but he leads. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's amazing that this here comes after rest, restoration, being led by him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. That's a miracle for sheep to not be afraid. And it's a miracle for us as well. When we walk with our eyes on him, fear has no place. Because you're with me, you're my companion. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod comforts me knowing if anything comes against me, any predator, and I feel afraid or I'm going to be devoured or wounded or be prey, that rod, that wooden thing with the nails, and I know, like David did, I wrestled with the lion and the bear. He was tough as well as a lover writing the Psalms, right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I know if I wander too far, you're going to get me by hook or by crook, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. We've discussed that. The anointing of the oil would get rid of the parasites that would go up the nostrils of the sheep and, you know, make them go crazy. Also, too, oil was held in ram's horns. They would put a stopper in the bottom and a stopper at top, like a water bottle, you know, like our water, not exactly, but you know what I mean. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we have that promise of eternity, but also too, this is one of my most favorite scriptures, is verse 6, goodness and mercy shall follow me. When we're in it, it doesn't feel like it, right? But when you look back at all the times that God was faithful to you, you see goodness and mercy was following you, that it was, when you got through it, it followed you, you know, and you learn about his goodness and mercy. And when you do see that it followed you, then the next situation you're in or the next challenge that you're facing, you are walking in that much greater trust and faith in the Lord as your shepherd, you know. I'm almost done, and I might even be done, but you know I'll trick you. Just kidding. Okay, before we go to Revelation, we'll go to Revelation 7 first, but I wanna tell you about a story that I saw, which I thought was really funny. In 1972, there was a shepherd and a sheep, right? And the sheep was ravaged by a wolf and just bleeding out, and it was really a bad situation. The shepherd came and laid on top of the sheep, right? And the next day on the headlines of the newspaper, this is 1972, the headline was "Sheep Alive Covered in Shepherd's Blood." Isn't that cool? I mean, that was the headline, you know? So, and that's really, isn't that what God does for us, you know, as our shepherd? You know, we are alive because of his blood, you know? And so we don't have to despise the fact that we're unintelligent beings, but that we have a shepherd that leads us. And if we follow him, everything that we have, we will not want, you know, we won't need anything, you know. So anyways, okay, so I just thought that was cool. Chapter 7, verse 17. Alrighty. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Goodness and mercy will follow them. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. For B. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Oh, love that. And also, let's look at Acts chapter 8. Oh, I might want to go there too. Acts 8. Oh, darn. Verse 32. Taking me a minute. Okay. Place in the scripture reads, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He is both the lamb and the shepherd," right? "And as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." This is talking about Christ's sacrifice. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And when it talks about Jesus, the lamb, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the lamb that was slaughtered, not pretty and sweet, nice words, but that he was unrecognizable, hanging there, shredded. You know, I mean, always, we never outgrow the cross. Always, we need to go back to that and remember that. Because if we don't know anything else, if we memorize nothing from the Bible, if we know anything else, if we know the gospel and we always go there, we always have something to share with others. Always. Okay. And I think I want to go to Matthew real quick, but I don't remember where it is, so I got to find it. And then, oh yeah, this is just another reference to, you know, the lost sheep. Well, you know this parable about the lost sheep, how he goes after the one and leaves the 99. Let's see where to go. Well, anyways, you guys know, you know the parable, how God's heart is always for the other. And honestly, I have markers or boundaries sometimes of mercy in my heart and mind that will say, in my mind, they're undeserving of that. And you know what? God always comes back to me and shows me that's exactly where my heart is. You're wrong. You're wrong to limit. You're wrong to set a boundary over certain people, like they did with David. Who the heck does he think he is? Right? Well, he was a shepherd and he was a king. And he was the very shadow or shorthand version of Jesus to come. In fact, his very lineage, even in the midst of all kinds of sin, he was still a man after God's own heart. And you know, that gives me great relief and comfort that even in spite of my, you know, unmerciful feelings or thoughts sometimes, or whatever my limitations are, like I had it with that person, if they would just get it together and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about, how we are critical sometimes. If I were to look at people every time like Jesus looks at them, I would be undone at his mercy for them, and I would be undone by my self-righteousness. Amen.